The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's parsha
is parsha's Chayei Sora.
Vayu Chayei Sora Mea Shona VeEsrim Shona VeSheva Shonim Shnei Chayei Sora. The life of Sora was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. 120 years. These were the days of Sora. Vatoma Sora beKiryas Arba, he Chevron beEretz Canaan. And Sora died in Kiryas Arba, which is the city of Chevron in Canaan, which was Eretz Yisrael. Vayovei Abraham lispeid leSora veLiv Kaiso. And Abraham came to say a hespid, Lispel, to eulogize her, v'lif kosa, and to weep for her. And then Avram got up from his departed, and he spoke to the Bnei Ches, saying, Ger v'teishe v'neich imochem, tunu li achuz haskever imochem, ve'ek baro meisi melefonai. That I am a stranger amongst you, give to me a place of burial that will be mine, an inheritance for mine forever, in order that I can bury my dead here. And Abraham negotiates, and finally he acquires this site. We have several mitzvahs mentioned here. One mitzvah is that Abraham came lispod, to eulogize. From here we see a mitzvah of hespid. Another mitzvah we find here, that he bought a piece of land to bury Sora. So from here we have a precedent of Kfura Bekarka, to bury in the land. This is perhaps the first time mentioned in the Torah, hespid, eulogies, or to bury. At the end of the Sedra, it states that Avraham, that Avraham lived to 175 years old, and Avraham died at a good old age, and he was gathered to his nation. And Yitzchok and Yishmael came and they buried him. They buried him in Moris HaMachpelah. This was the site which Abraham bought for Sora. El Stei Ephron ben Sochar Achiti Asher Opene Mamre, which was the field that belonged to Ephron, the son of Tzochar Achiti. Asode Asher Kona Avraham Meiz Bnei Shoma Kuba Avraham V'Sor Ishtai. The field that Abraham acquired, there Abraham is buried, was buried, and Sora his wife. So again is mentioned burial. By Yi Achrei Meiz Avraham. And after the death of Avraham, by Avorach Elakim as Yitzchok Benoi, Hashem came to bless Yitzchok his son. Why did Hashem come to bless Yitzchok his son? So Rashi brings, Nichmu Tanchumi Avelim, that Hashem came to offer him the condolences of the mourners. This is when the Gemara incited Afu Dalit. So we have another mitzvah here, that of Nichum Avelim, that a person must comfort the mourners. Let's spend a few minutes this evening to go into some of these mitzvahs. In Masechet Sanhedrin, the Mishnah and the Mem Vov speaks about someone who committed a very serious offense, and he was guilty of capital punishment, and he was to be put to death by the Sanhedrin. So the Mishnah goes into detail what was done with him after his death. Now in Parshas Ki Tsetse, which is in Dvorim Perechov Beis, Torah tells us, "V'chi yeh b'ishchet mishpat moves v'humas." If a person is guilty of the death penalty, v'saliso aso al eitz, and the courts decree that he should be put to death, and he is hung on a tree, le'soli nivlose al eitz, you shall not let his corpse hang. Ki koves ikberenu b'yemahu, but he must be buried on that day. Ki kilus elakim tolui. Because this is an embarrassment, this is a shame, a disgrace for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That if he will be disgraced and left hanging there, since man is made B'Tzelem Elokim, in the image of Hashem, this will be disgraceful to Hashem. So he should be buried immediately that day. You shall not delay his burial. You shall not bring impurities to the land. Then the Mishnah tells us Velezul Bilvad Omru Ela Kol Hamelin Es Meisei. This is not only referring to someone who was put to death by the courts, but anyone who delays the burial of a person, Eva Belezase, transgresses the negative commandment of Leisholim. How Elinuhu Lichvaidai. What happens though if he delayed the burial of the person for his honor? For example, in order to prepare a proper burial for him, to make sure that there will be the proper oren casket or shrouds or so forth. Then he does not transgress this halacha. Because the Torah tells us that you should not delay one's burial because this is disgraceful for him. So only if it's done to disgrace him, but if it's done to honor him, then it is permitted. So there we have a source for the mitzvah of kovesik farenu, of burial, which is an indirect source. It is learned from the burial that was for those who were killed and put to death by the courts. The Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yechanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai, Minayin Lamelin Es Meisi She'eva Alav Belaisase, Tamalei Mekikovesi Kvarenu, Mikan Lamelin Es Meisi She'eva Belaisase." From here we can learn out that this not only refers to someone put to death by the courts, but by anyone. Ika Diamri, Remez Lekfura Minatei Reminayin, an indication that there is a mitzvah of burial in earth. From the Torah, how do we know? Ki kovesik porenu. From this posuk, mikan remez lekfura min haTorah. From here we see that the Torah demanded that someone should be buried in earth, as it states, ki kovesik porenu. Then the Gemara says, Amalei Shvor Malko l'Rav Chama. Shvor Malko, one of the queens, asked Rav Chama, kfura min haTorah minay. This that Jews bury someone in earth. Where do you know it from? So he didn't answer her. So Rav Acha asked, why didn't you answer her? Why didn't you bring her this posuk? So he said that from this posuk, she wouldn't have accepted. Because from the fact that it says kavor, to bury, maybe that means just to bury in an oron, bury in a casket. From the fact that it says twice in the Torah, and this is how we expound it, kover sikporenu, she wouldn't have accepted that. So then the Gemara asks, Neima mida ikbo tzaddike, but we see precedence in the Torah that the righteous people of the Torah, Abraham, buried Sora in the earth, in the cave, and later on we see that others, Yitzchok was also buried there. So that, the Gemara says, Minoga bi'alma. Maybe this was merely a custom, but this was not the actual command of the Torah. Mira akbre akorsh bochu lemaisha. But at the end of the Sefer Torah, we see that it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe in the mountain. So that the Gemara answers, and this perhaps you could reject and say, Delelishtani miminogo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to change from the custom of people, since it was the custom of the righteous to bury in the earth, so he buried Moshe also in the earth. So therefore, we could bring proofs. We could not bring proofs from here. But as far as we're concerned, we still have a proof from the Kovar Sikporenu, from that what it says by those who were killed by the Beis Din. Then the Gemara asks, Iboilahu, kfura mishum bizjaina hu, o mishum kapora. This that we're obligated to bury someone in earth, is this because otherwise it will be a disgrace to mankind? Or is it for kapora, perhaps this will bring forgiveness to him? Because since man was made from the earth and he'll return to the earth, this will bring forgiveness. What is the difference? Because if it's a disgrace to mankind, then if he writes in his will, or he commands his children, do not bury me in the earth, this he has no liberty to do, because it's a disgrace for all of mankind not to be buried. But if it's for kapora, if it's for his own forgiveness, he can say that he's not interested. This is very relevant, because today you have many people that they leave over in their wills that they do not want to be buried, they want to be cremated. Then the Gemara says, let's bring a proof from the fact that we see that the righteous, well, Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov, Sora, and the others, they were all buried in the land. And if you say it is merely for a kapora, it is for forgiveness, they didn't need such a kapora. So the Gemara says, no. Dixiv Odom Ein Sadik Boretz Asher Yaseh Tevel Eyechto. There is no righteous person who ever lived on earth that did not do at least some sin. And everyone needs a kapora. Therefore, we could not bring a proof from there. The Gemara goes through this subject. And then it goes on to a second subject. The mitzvah that we find that one is obligated to be maspid, to eulogize. What kind of mitzvah is this? Has paid yukore de chayahavi or yukore de shikhvi? Is this to honor the living or to honor the dead? When you give a hespid, is this for the honor of the departed? Or maybe it's for the honor of the family? Because if you speak of what a great person the individual was, this brings kovod to the mishpocha, honor to the family. Moses says, what is the difference? L'may nafkemina. The Omar leitis peduha lahu gavra, where he commands his children that I do not want a hespid, a eulogy. Inami, or another difference, if we can demand from the heirs to pay the costs, if we can demand from the heirs to pay the cost of the eulogy. In those times, it was the custom that they would hire professional maspidim, people who were very good at giving eulogies, and they would bring them in from other places, and they would pay them for it. So if this is for the honor of the dead, so then the dead have a right to be mavater. They could say, we don't want this honor. And if they leave over in their will, they do not want any hespid, then you have to listen to them. If it's for the honor of the living, so then the dead cannot leave over in their will that they do not want any hespit, because the living want it. Or also, if you can demand from the heirs or not, if it's for the honor of the dead, then the heirs must pay. If it's for the honor of the living, the heirs can say, we don't want. And again, the Gemara goes through the whole subject. The Gemara tries to bring a proof from our parsha. Vayovei Avraham lispeid lesora velivkosa. Avraham came to eulogize Sora and to weep for her. I amrit mishum yikore de chayhu, mishum yikore de Avraham, mashu le sora. Since it says vayovoy, that Avraham came, so the question is raised, where was he? Where did he come from? So the Chazal say that Sora died immediately after the Akedah Yitzchok, immediately after Avraham offered Yitzchok as a sacrifice. And Avraham was still returning from Har HaMoriah, he was returning from Yerushalayim, where the sacrifice took place. So there was a delay in the burial of Sora before Avraham came. So if you say that this hesped, this eulogy, was for the honor of the living, for the honor of Avraham, so what right did he have to delay the burial of Sora? But if it was for the honor of Sora, then you have a right to delay the burial of Sora in order that Avraham can come and give a hesped. Here again we see that you're not allowed to delay the burial of any individual. But if it's for their honor, then you're allowed to. So the Gemara answers, no. Even if you would say that it is for the honor of Avraham, Sora gufa nichalo ki hechle b'yakabo Avraham. Sora herself would have wanted that Avraham should have this covered. Therefore, even if it was for the honor of Avraham, you would be allowed to delay the burial of Sora, since this is something Sora would want. So from here we can learn another halacha, that you're not allowed to delay a burial of an individual, but if it's for a purpose that he would want, a legitimate purpose that he would want, then you would be allowed to delay it. The Rambam in Hilchos Ovel, Perek Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Beis, the Rambam brings a hesped kovod amesu. Hesped, eulogy, this is in honor of the dead. The conclusion is, it's for the honor of the dead, not for the honor of the living. Therefore, we can demand that the heirs must pay in order that the person is properly eulogized. And if the departed commands that he does not want any hesped, then you must listen, that there is no hesped, since it is for his honor. It is his honor, and he has a right to waive it. But if he commands that he should not be buried, ain't shaming lie. On this we have no right to listen to him. Shahakfura mitzvah shenema ki kover sikvarenu. Because since the kfur is a mitzvah from the Torah, kover sikvarenu, that you must bury. And the Rambam is learning that the conclusion is, because if not, it is a disgrace to the human species, to human mankind. Therefore you do not listen. Therefore if someone would leave over in his will that he wants nothing said at his funeral, then you must adhere to it. But if someone leaves over in his will that he does not want to be buried in the earth, he wants to be cremated or other things, you cannot listen to him. Then the Rambam brings Kolamis Atzel Bez Pedu Shel Chochem Einam Ayrech Yomim. Anyone who is lenient in the hesped of a wise person, does not give him proper hesped, and he is able to do so, he will not live long. Mida keneged mida. V'chol ha'misatzel hesped orim kosher roi likover b'chayav. And the mitzvah of hesped is so great that whoever does not properly be maspid, a noble person, a decent person, roi likover b'chayav, then it's befitting that this person should be buried alive. V'chol ha'meri dima is al odem kosher. And whoever weeps at the death of a decent, noble person, harei shorei shomur al kach etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So his reward is guarded by Hashem. So from here we see that the mitzvah of hesped is a very great mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that one must fulfill. especially if the person is a wise person, a chacham, a talmid chacham, and if the person is an aram kosher, a good person. It's not something that is optional, unless the departed has waived it. And we see there's a very great punishment for people who are not misatzel behespedo, who are not maspid properly. Actually, the Gemara brings by Miriam that one of the reasons why a great punishment came to Klal Yisrael is because they were not maspid Miriam Keroy. They did not eulogize her properly. There are certain places that have customs where they're not maspid. There are certain places and certain areas, certain groups in Klal Yisrael that have a custom not to be maspid. But it's not in accordance, I don't know what the reason is, it's not in accordance to the what we see the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. The Litvisher always were maspid. When it came as Talmud Chochem, there were many hespedes. When it came an Orem Kosher, they were always very careful to be maspid. And that's it. Here we have its sources. And the first source is here in the Torah by Abraham to Sora. Kederek she'osim maimid umeshev lanoshim. This in the same manner that we make hespedim and so forth for a man, kach esin lanoshim umaspidin lanoshim kanoshim b'chol mokum. We must also be maspid women. We shouldn't think that a man we must make eulogies for, but a woman is not necessary. The first proof is our sedra, because here Avraham came to say hesped to Sora. Another proof is what we just quoted before for Miriam. Klal Yisrael were punished because they were not maspid Miriam Kiroi. Then the Meforshim bring Rafris Softo Lekalse. Rafris, one of the Chachomim of the Gemara, made a hespid for his daughter-in-law. Ram Gamliel Le'imai Shel Ben Zozo Hespid Godl. Ram Gamliel made a hespid Godl, a very great hespid, for the mother of one of the other Chachomim. This is in regards to the mitzvah of hespid and to the mitzvah of kfura, burial and hespid. Now, as we mentioned in our seder, there's another mitzvah mentioned, and that is birchas tankumim, to comfort the mourners. This the Rambam brings in Perek Yud Gimel. Ketzad menachmim es avelim. How should we comfort the mourners? Acha shekevrim es ameis. After a person buries the dead, miskaptsim ha'avelim ve'emnim b'tzad beis akforis. Then the avelim, the mourners, come together and they stand on the side of the beis akforis of the cemetery. V'chol ha'malavin es ha'meis emdim sovim lehen shura lifnei shura. And all of those that came to the burial, so they stand next to them and they make lines of at least 10 people. And the Avelim stand to the left, and all of the others come to them one at a time. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu from heaven should give you comfort. Then the mourners go to their houses. And each day of the 7 days of mourning, people come to comfort them. Ein reshoin leimed dover achiftacho avel espiv tchilo. You're not allowed to talk to the mourners until he speaks first. Shneamar ve'ein dever elov dover. Because a mourner is someone who does not want to speak. And you should not force him to talk. Therefore, you're not allowed to speak to the mourner until he speaks first. It's brought that the suda, the first meal that the mourner has after the burial, is a meal of either eggs or beans. And one of the sources for this is in the Sedra, which is, I believe, next week, where Yaakov was preparing adoshim, he was preparing beans for Yitzchok, because Yitzchok was sitting Shiva for his father Avraham. See, at the end of our Seder, Avraham dies. So Yitzchok was sitting Shiva. So Yaakov was preparing this Suda for him. And the reason why the food that you give a mourner is either eggs or beans, the Gemara brings two reasons. One is because it is round, to show that death is something that touches everyone. There are certain sorrows that only touch certain people. Death is something that comes to everyone. It is a round circle that leaves no one out. The second reason is because this food has no mouth. And an oval has no mouth. By Yidom Aaron, we find by Aaron, when he lost his children, he became silent. We find that when a person is bishleimus, when he's in completion, he's complete, and he's perfect, then this brings him to great simcha, and this brings him to shira, to sing. When Klal Yisrael had great emuna, and they had all that they needed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them from Egypt, so then they opened their mouths in shira, they sang. The contrary to this is that when a person loses something, he becomes very sad. If he loses another member of his family, this is the ultimate in sadness, in avelus. And this brings silence to the person. Just the contrary. Therefore, when a person goes to visit a mourner, he's not supposed to initiate the conversation, but he should wait till he's spoken to first. And once he sees a signal from the mourner that the mourner does not want to speak anymore, then he has to leave. In order that they should not be too burdensome on the mourners. And this is something very important, because many times someone is sitting in Shiva and literally dozens and dozens and sometimes even hundreds of people come. And this is a tremendous act of Gemilas Chesed, but at the same time, sometimes it becomes too much for the Aveli. Many times they want to be left alone. So therefore he must watch for a signal. And when he sees that the mourner does not want to continue with this, then he must leave. If a person dies and there are no avelim, there are no mourners, there's no family, so the Rambam brings that there should be a minion that come to the house every day of the 7 days of avelus. That's why there are minhogim that they would make minyonim in such a person's house to daven in his house. What happens if someone is sitting Shiva and a Talmud Chochem or a Rav comes in and you're obligated to stand up for the Rav or the Talmud Chochem? Does the person sitting Shiva, is he obligated to stand or not? Hakol chayovim lamayd bifnei nosi chutz mi ovel v'chayla. Everyone is obligated to stand before a nosi. The nosi was the head of the Sanhedrin. Everyone was obligated to stand before him, except an ovel, a mourner, and a choleh, and a sick person. Therefore, someone who is sitting Shiva and Talmidei Chachomim come in, he is not obligated to stand. And if somebody stands for you, you can tell him sit. But a mourner you're not allowed to, or a sick person you're not allowed to. Because if you tell them to sit, you tell a mourner to sit, it's as if you're telling him that he should continue to sit Shiva. So you have to tell him in a different manner. And the same thing with a chole. If a chole wants to get out of bed and you tell them sit, it's as if you're telling him stay in bed. So therefore you must do it in a different manner. People should come and they should keep the house of the mourner clean. You're allowed to clean up the house and do everything normally in order that the house should be presentable. Ein bechin al hameis yesu mishleishi yomim. Now what should be a person's reaction to a death in the family? Heaven forbid. Ein bechin al hameis yesu mishleishi yomim. A person should not weep for a departed one more than 3 days. Ein maspidin yesu mishivo. And he should not eulogize more than 7 days. Bamei dvorim amurim bishara om. This is when it's speaking of regular people. Aval talmidei chachomim, akol lefi chochmosim. But if it's a talmud chochom, then you must react in accordance to the wisdom of the talmud chochom. But vein beichin aleim yosim mishleishim yoim. Still, you must not weep for any person more than 30 days. Why? Shein lanu godol meisher Rabbeinu. There was no one ever greater in Israel than Meisher Rabbeinu. Uksiva itamu yemei bichi evil Meisher. And it says that they wept for 30 days and after that they stopped. So even though we are obligated to weep for a person, or we are permitted to weep for a person, but we must not weep for more than 30 days for any individual. And the actual shear is 3 days and 7 days for Hespid. And if it is a great Talmud Chochom, you should not be maspid. You should not give a eulogy for more than 12 months. Because we had no one greater than Rabbeinu HaKodesh Rabbi Yehuda Anosi. And they gave hespedim for him for 12 months and not longer. Al yiskash odem al meisa yesa midai. Shenemar al tifku lemeis val sinod loy. A person should not be broken on a departed person more than is the normal reaction. You're not allowed to react more than what is normal. And someone who does react in an abnormal manner, he is a fool. What is the accepted, the normal way? Shleish lebechi, 3 days for weeping. Shiva lehespid, 7 days for hespid. Shleishim yom letasporis v'lushar hachamish advorim, and 30 days for not shaving or haircuts and the rest of the customs of avelis for other relatives, and 12 months for a father and mother. On the other hand, kol mi sheinu misavel kamei shetziva chachamim. Someone who does not mourn in accordance to the way our sages have commanded us, harize achzori, then he is a cold and a ruthless person. Eli yafachid v'yidag v'yifashpish v'maisav v'yachzor v'tshuva. But he must react. And he should worry. And he should search his ways. And he should do tshuva. He should return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Echud b'mnei achabura shemeis tida kol achabura kula. If one of his group dies, then the entire group should worry. For 3 days, they should look at themselves as if the sword is hanging over their throats. The Malach HaMavos, the angel of death, has taken someone from a certain group, a close-knit group. So for 3 days a person should realize that the Malach HaMavos is dancing right in front of him. From 3 to 7 days, then it's as if the Malach HaMavos, the sword, has gone to the corner of the room. After that, it's as if that it's in the marketplace. It's further away. All of this is in order that he should awaken from his slumber. Because if the Midas Adin, if the act of death has reached a person's family or a person's close-knit group, then he should realize that it's near him. And this should awaken him to do tshuva. So we have here that a Jew must react, like we see by Avraham. Avraham wept and he eulogized. A Jew must react, but it must be with a cheshbon. It must not be something that is uncontrolled and unlimited, because the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that no one is has more compassion than I do. And why do you keep weeping? So you must react, but it must be with calculation and in accordance to the way the sages have commanded us. Besides the mitzvahs, these mitzvahs, there is another mitzvah involved here also. And that the Rambam brings in the 14th Perek, where he brings mitzvahs esei shel divreim levakeh cholim, that our sages have commanded us. We should visit the sick, nachem avelim, we should comfort the mourners, we should bury the dead, we should be maspid, give eulogies, and so forth. So the Rambam says all of this is gemilas chasodim. This is the mitzvah of gemilas chesed, and they're bichlal v'after the reyach kameicha. They're included in the positive commandment of v'after the reyach kameicha, that one is commanded to love his fellow Jew as himself. One final halacha here. The Rambam brings that if a person has a mitzvah to go comfort the avelim, or he has a mitzvah to go visit the sick, which one should he do first? Or if he can only do one, which one should he do? So the Rambam says, Yiro Ali, it is his opinion, Shenechomas avelim kodem lebikacholim, that first he should comfort the avelim. Why? Shenichom avelim gemilas chesedim achayim v'imameisim. Because to comfort the mourners, this is a gemilas chesed both for the living and for the dead. So we see first the halacha, and secondly we see that the Rambam learns that the comforting, nichum avelim, this is a mitzvah. One would think this is a mitzvah only for the living. The burial, that's the mitzvah for the dead. The hespid, that's the mitzvah for the dead. But when you go comfort the mourners, that's a mitzvah for the living. So the Rambam is learning that this is both a mitzvah for the living and for the dead. Why? Because when many people come to comfort the family, this is an honor also for the dead. Bikur cholim, when you take care of someone who is sick, this is a mitzvah only for the living. Therefore, you must do the mitzvah of nichum avelim first. The Radvaz, one of the Meforshim, disagrees. He says, since the Gemara says that when you visit the sick, it's ki'ilu matzil nefoshes, it's as if you're saving a life. And if you don't visit the sick, it's sheifik domim, sometimes it can bring a person to death. So therefore, to visit the sick is more important. Visiting the sick means not only to visit him, but to care for his needs. The piece of land that Avraham was interested in negotiating for, firstly we see that he was interested in buying it. He wanted to pay money for it. And he said, Achuzas kever. It should be Achuza. Achuza means a piece of land which I will always own. Why didn't he just hire it? Secondly, Avraham was interested in a particular piece of land. He went to the Bnei Ches and he wanted this piece of land. Why? Now the first is a halacha. The Gemara says that a person wants to be buried in his own piece of land. It's a bizoin, it's a disgrace for the dead to be buried in a piece of land which is not theirs. Therefore, Avraham would not have merely hired a piece of land. He wanted to buy it, and he wanted to buy it for full price. And he wanted it forever, that it should be Achuza. Achuza means something forever. And this is an important halacha. It is the honor, covered for the departed, that they are buried in their own piece of land. Why was he interested? Dafki here. This turned out to be Moris Machpelah. Moris Machpelah is in Hebron. And what is so famous about Moris Machpelah? Because Avraham is buried there with Sarah, and Yitzchok is buried there with Rivka, and Yaakov is buried there with Leah. But this is something that took place afterwards. Why was Avraham so interested in the beginning? So evidently Avraham knew something about this place. He knew something special. Avraham knew that this was the burial place of Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava also were buried here. The fact is, it is called here Kiryas Arba. Kiryas Arba, so Rashi brings Al Shem Arba Nokim Shohayusham. There were four giants that grew up in that piece of territory. Dova Acher, and also Al Shem Dalet Zugay Shenikroshom. There were four couples buried there. Adam and Chava, or four couples will be buried there. Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchok and Rivka, Jacob and Leah. Rachel was not buried there. Rachel was buried outside of the city, on the road. And this, the reason why she was not Zeche to be buried with Yaakov, this was a different reason. But why was she buried on the road? This, the Gemara tells us, that when Klal Yisrael were going into exile, since she is the Akeres Habayis, she is the main mother of Klal Yisrael, she would be Mispalo, she would pray for them. And it would be in her schus that they would come back from the exile. Now, evidently Avraham knew that Adam and Chava were buried there. And there he wanted this place. If Adam and Chava were buried there, so for sure it was something very special. Notice that it's called Kiryas Arba. It was called the place of four. And the Chazal tell us two reasons. Firstly, because four giants grew up there. And secondly, four couples were buried there. But four couples weren't buried there yet. Four couples were destined to be buried there. So the answer is four giants grew up there. That already took place. And the four couples were destined to be buried there. Now this was a very special place. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to bury Adam and Chava there, it must have been very special. And the Chazal tell us that actually this is the link between this world and the next world. That if there's a link between this world and the next world, it's here. Adam and Chava, they were placed in Gan Eden. And then after the sin, they went out of Gan Eden. And actually it was the sin that brought death to the world, otherwise they would have lived forever. And the Torah tells us, Nar Yotzer Mi Eden, There was a river that came from Eden, and when it went out of Eden, it branched, you poured aid. It separated into four tributaries. That's when it came out of Eden. So it seems that in Eden it was one. When it went out of Eden, it separated into four. Here was the Moris Machpelah, in this world, which also had the power of four. That we see that at the physical level, it was able to bring up four giants. And at the spiritual level, before always, the four fathers of the world and the four mothers of the world were buried there. And this is why this is such a great Mokum Kodesh, such a great holy place. Another source, another principle we learn from here, that it is a great schus that a man and a wife should be buried together. We see Avraham was buried together with Sarah. Adam was buried together with Chava. Yitzchok and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah. And we find in Parshas, I believe it's Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov went, he fled from Esav, and he went to his uncle's house, and there he met Rochel, she wept. And the Chazal tell us he wept for two reasons. First of all, because he came empty-handed. He had no gifts like Eliezer had when he went to look for a wife for Yitzchak. And secondly, he wept because he saw that he would not be buried together with Rochel. So we see that it is a great schus where a man and wife should be buried together. We have in the parsha also of Simchas, also a chasana, that Avraham sends Eliezer, his faithful servant, to find a wife for Yitzchok. Why didn't he send Yitzchok himself? Because Yitzchok was not allowed to go out of Eretz Yisrael. All of the other Oves went out of Eretz Yisrael. But Yitzchok was not allowed to. Since Yitzchok was offered for a sacrifice, so he gained a Kiddushi Yisera, an extra sanctity. And he had the sanctity of a sacrifice which is not allowed to go out of, also out of Eretz Yisrael or out of certain boundaries. And Avraham sent Eliezer, and he said, go and find a wife for my son. Go back to my family. He did not want to take from the people here. Why didn't he want to take from the people here? Because these were all the people of Canaan. Eretz Yisrael was called Eretz Canaan because Noah had three sons, Shem, Chom, and Yefes. The descendant of Chom was Canaan. And these were the cursed sons. Noah had cursed them. And the children of Canaan were the seven nations that occupied Eretz Yisrael. And Abraham did not want from the cursed nations to marry Yitzchok, because Yitzchok was blessed. Because Abraham received the brochas, and these brochas from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will bless you. And by the Akedah, by the sacrifice of Yitzchak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him. And these blessings were going to Yitzchak. He said, Ein Baruch Dov, Ein Oru Dovik BeBaruch, a cursed one cannot cleave to a blessed one. Therefore, he did not want from these people. So he said, you should go back to my family. Go back to Ur Kasdim, Aram Naraim. That was back to Bavel, Iraq, that area, and take from my family. What was better about his family? Because Avraham had come from Shem. And Shem was the righteous son of Noah. The fact is, Noah had blessed Shem, Baruch Shem. He gave him a brocha. And the Chazal tell us that Eliezer, his servant, he really wanted that Avraham's son Yitzchok should marry his daughter. Eliezer had a daughter. And he wanted to make a shidduch. So Avraham said no. Because Eliezer also was from Canaan. And he was cursed. And he said, Ein oru dovek b'boruch. A cursed cannot cleave to a boruch, to a blessed. Therefore you must go back. So Eliezer went. He went back to his family. And the Torah goes through the story that he said, Hine anechi nitzov alein amoyim, I'm by the well of water, ubneisan shir yoitzis lishov moyim, and the daughters of the city are coming to take water. Voya nara sheroim aleo atino chadech veshteh. And he said that the young lass that will come, and I will tell her, and she will tell me, And I will tell her, see, give me some of your water that I might drink. And she'll say, you drink. And also I will give to all of your camels. So this one will be proven that she is for Yitzchok. She is for my master Yitzchok. And this way, Eliezer said, he was speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that you will do chesed. I know that you will do kindness with my master. And this is what took place. He came, and a beautiful young girl came to the well, and she started to draw water. And Eliezer saw this, and he ran to her, and he said, please give me some water. And she said, Shasei Adonai, you drink. And then she went, and she said that I'll give to all of your camels also. And then he asked, who are you? First he gave her gifts. And then he asked, who are you? And she said, that I am Bas Besuel, Anochi Ben Milka, Asher Yolda Lenochor. She came, she was a granddaughter of Avraham's brother. And then he gave her gifts. Actually, he gave her the gifts first. What did he give her? Yikach HaIsh Nezim Zov, he gave her a golden ring, nose ring, Beka Mishkolei, which weighed a half of shekel. Shnei tzmidim al yodeha. He gave her two bracelets, which smidim, two intertwined bracelets for her hands, and asor zov mishkolom, that they were each 10 shkolim. So Rashi tells us, why did he give her these? Beka remes l'shikri Yisrael beka l'gulgeles. He gave her the nose ring, which was a half of shekel. This was a remez. Here he was indicating the mitzvah that Klal Yisrael would bring in the desert, each a half of shekel, and from there would be built the Mishkan, the sanctuary. Shnei tzmidim, he gave her the two bracelets which were twined together. This was an indication of the two tablets that were connected. Asor zov mishkolim, they weigh 10 shkolim. This was an indication of the Aseres HaDibros, of the 10 commandments. Why did he give her this? So the Maral in the Sefer Gorayin and in the Sefer Ovis writes, what kind of test was he giving her? He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the one that I'll ask that you should give for some water, if she'll come and she'll draw water not only for me but for all of the camels, then I say hechachto, this will be proven that she is the right zivug, she is the right match for Yitzchok. Why? Rashi says, Rui hi laishete gemeles kasodim ukedai likonis bebeis shel Avraham. Because she's coming into the house of Avraham. Avraham was the great gemeles chesed. Avraham was the one who went and did kindness for everyone. Someone who is to come into the household of Avraham, She must have this power of chesed, of loving kindness. Therefore, I'll test her with this. Now, we learned, if you recall last week's shir, that Avraham was the pillar of chesed, of loving kindness. Yitzchak was the pillar of Yireh of fear. The Chazal tell us. Avraham had one way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak had another way. Avraham served through love. He had a great abundance of love for everyone. He had a great heart that encompassed the whole world. For everyone he wanted to do good for. He wanted to spread Torah to everyone. He wanted to give to everyone. This was Avraham's way of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chesed l'Avraham. Yitzchak served HaKadosh Baruch Hu through fear. He saw in HaKadosh Baruch Hu the tremendous strength and greatness. And fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that of a servant to a master. The Gemara says that Hakol Bidei Shemaim Chutz Mi Yireh Shemaim. Everything belongs to heaven except the fear of heaven. And Ein LaKadosh Baruch Hu Bebeis Gnozov Ela Eitz Asher Yireh Shemaim Belvad. Kadosh Baruch Hu has in his treasure house the fear of heaven. Now, we've given shiurim in the past that since a person is given free will, so this must be in his hands, not in heaven's hands. But there's another interpretation also, and that is the essence of the fear of Hashem. That is when a person reacts as a servant to a master, when he sees himself merely as an outgrowth of Hashem, of the Master. When he looks at himself as if he is not a creation by himself. A complete isbatlus. Where he looks at himself and he realizes in himself that he is nothing. For example, if a small fire would come next to a great fire, or a drop of water would come next to the ocean, so it would not be an entity in itself, but becomes merely part of the ocean or part of the great fire. This is the fear of heaven that a person must have. He sees the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he is the master, so he looks at himself as if he's not an entity in its own right, in his own right. Now this is all from his point of view. From the Creator's point of view, it's not true. Kodesh Baruch Hu that created man, he looks at man as someone who is an entity. Someone who is very important. He's the greatest creation that man that Hashem created in this world. Therefore, Hakol Bidei Shemaim Chutz Mi Yireh Shemaim. Yireh Shemaim must come from the person, not from Hashem. Now Yitzchak served HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this way. And he was able to come closer to the Almighty than anyone else. Because he, in his own right, he did not look at himself as an entity by itself. And this the Gemara says when he was willing to give himself over completely to Hashem. So this was Yitzchak's way of serving Hashem. As we'll learn in the coming Zedras, Yaakov had a third way. Yaakov was the midah of Torah. The Torah is not built necessarily or exclusively through love, and it's not built exclusively through fear. It's a third level, which we'll go into at another point. And Torah was built from the combination of both, of Abraham and Yitzchak. So this is what Eliezer meant to give over to Rivka. Eliezer knew this. Eliezer was a great Talmud Chochem. The Gemara in Yuma says that Eliezer was Meishel. Not only did he rule over Abraham's household, but he also ruled over the Torah, over the wisdom of Abraham. So this is what Eliezer indicated to Rivka. He said, you have the great attribute of chesed, of loving kindness, as I see from what I tested you with. And you are going to marry my master Yitzchok, who is the pillar of fear, of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu through fear. The two of you will produce Torah, will produce Yaakov, that will be the pillar of Torah. And therefore he gave her the rings for the nose, which weighed a half of shekel. This was the illustration of serving through fear, because all of the sacrifices in the sanctuary, in the Mishkan, all were in this vein where they served through fear. All of the sacrifices, the Gemara calls avoda, it's the way a servant serves a master. And he gave her the bracelets which illustrated the tablets, and they were weighed 10 shkolim, which illustrated the 10 commandments. This is the Torah, to indicate that with her chesed and Yitzchok's fear, they will produce Yaakov Avinu, that will be Torah. These are some of the principles that we can learn from this week's Sedra. And we should be zeicher to learn and to live by them.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.